Communion.
The first thing that comes to our mind, probably 99% of the time, is the ceremony, right? Every time we hear the word communion, we think about the elements. And if you are a Seventh-day Adventist, that includes at least three elements: the water, the bread, and the wine. But if you are not a Seventh-day Adventist, if you belong to another denomination, you may get just the wine and the bread. And the wine has a kick. It's fermented. If you go to some other place, they do serve grape juice, just like us, instead of wine, fermented wine. I have mentioned to you here that the story, but some of you probably did not hear, so I'm going to try it again. I was one day here at the church, and somebody just drove by and says, "I'm looking for a church to rent." And I'm a minister, and I talked to him for a while, and he has been a minister for probably at that time 30, almost 40 years, longer than I was at that time. And then I start to go over the details. Yes, we do. We don't have any problem helping you because you're trying to have a congregation. You need a place until you raise the money. It happens to us. It happens to every little group that wants to be a church. So we have that open mind, but there are some details. So I share the details. There are a few things that we do not allow here, no matter who is using our facility. And that is alcohol. That is drugs. Anything that will hinder your mind, your way of thinking, is not allowed in this. And I talk about drugs, because there are people that they don't drink something, but it's still their minds going some other places for some other reasons. But we says not in here, okay? He said, "Oh no, we don't drink alcohol, and our members who drink, they drink away, but not in the church." By the way, we do serve the wine, and it's fermented. And then I ask him, "Why? Why do you serve the fermented wine?" "Because you serve them the unleavened bread. Why you keep the leaven out of the bread, but you allow it to be in the wine?" I have never thought about this. And I don't think anybody in my church ever thought about it. Let me think about it. And then afterwards, I met with him another day, and he says, "But Jesus, didn't Jesus serve the wine?" And I asked him, "Do you think that he served it fermented? Because it was a new wine. It was meant to feed the people, not to drive them nuts." So some people have this concept of communion, and they always or distort the meaning of it, or the use of the elements. What is the purpose of a communion? So we decide today to talk about communion, not only just the ceremony itself, but communion in the sense that God instituted from creation. God always wants communion with everything that he creates. If you have any doubt, read this text again. God said, "Now we..." Interesting enough that in Hebrew, they practice monotheism, one God. But yet, it says here, "Now we," and we know that it's not talk about we, myself, and a lot of angels is going to help me to do all this creation. He's talking about divinity, Elohim, which is also a plural concept of God. It says, "Now we will make humans, and they will be like us." At this stage, God already created everything, prepared the home, everything is ready. Only thing that it needs now is someone to take care of it. And that's why he says, "They will be like us." They will take care, they will be involved, there will be a communion in purpose. There will be a communion with them. I want this world to be connected to us, and the humans will be the ones who will make this connection. It says they will rule the fish, the birds, and all the other living creatures. So God created humans, you and I, to be like himself. Please read that again and again and again, because that defines the whole purpose of your communion with God.
Amen.
The purpose of communion is so that God can restore his image in us.
Amen.
Because he created us to be better than we have been accomplished by ourselves. God created no loser, and no loser is going to make it to heaven. If you decide to be a loser, you're missing a lot. You become nobody. He made men and women. Some people sometimes they think that God made men and then, oh, okay, we need a woman. In creation, God created men and women equally. Okay? Everything here applies to both genders. God made them to be like him. So the title that we chose for this this week, Since the Beginning. When does everything begin? At birth. Right?
Yes.
At birth. So what happens at birth? A water that you have been, a bag of water that you have been for a few months inside of that, it breaks and you come to life. You come to life just like the earth came to life from the water. And everything is conceived through the water. So when you were baptized, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of your communion with God. Okay? Now it continues. I like to share this because this is a picture that people sometimes think about creation and they don't understand what is creation is all about. In the original, in Hebrew, the first few words in Hebrew is in the beginning. That's what the word Genesis means. So there is two times in the Bible that this terminology is used, in the beginning. So I'll share them with you. And every single thing, every single day, there was a sentence that was repeated. God saw that it was good. Notice that I capitalized the it here, because at that time was light. Some people say that God created light. How light was created? When God made himself present, and he is the light. So light became part of his creation. He came in to have communion with us, and he brought the light. God said, repeating the text again, now we will make humans. They will be like us. We will let them rule the fish, the birds, and all the living creatures. Isn't that ironic? That human beings that have given the responsibility to rule, they lose control upon the most important ruler. It is sad when we see humans that has no control. And we have seen quite a few. We have seen people overwhelmed with hate. We have people overwhelmed with attitude, like look like they have no control. And we are raising, sometimes now we are raising children not to have control. And they act entitled with the entitlement attitude, like they are in charge of everything. They demand things. Yes, they lost control and they want to have control. So God created humans to be like himself. Yes, he made men and women according to his image because he wants communion. God created us to be like him. There is no doubt. This image shows us exactly what God did. At creation, God also established another symbol of communion. Before he created the Sabbath, he established another symbol. Do you remember what he did in the sixth day? that was another institution that he created. One institution that now has been tainted and the devil is making a mockery of it. Marriage. Marriage between a man and a woman. Everything else you may call it, you can call it a donkey, a giraffe, and will still be a donkey no matter how many times you talk to the donkey and says, you are a giraffe. Put your neck up, you are a giraffe. It will be a donkey because it was born to be one, it will be always one. So I know that sometimes people feel offended when we talk about truth and talk about reality. But it's my responsibility to do so, and I have to do so. I hope that if you choose to be offended, open the Bible, and that will help you a little bit. Okay? And then he creates the next day. By the way, let me call attention to this. It is the only marriage that I know of. Only. I have been around for a little while. I've been a pastor for a while. And it is the only marriage that I ever heard in my entire life that it was done in a few minutes when he met her and last for over 900 years. So sometimes people say it takes 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. By the way, girl, if there is any girl here, if somebody is dating you for 10 years, you better move on. That's something wrong there. You know, it is important to date for a while for you to know the person. But it's for taking you 10 years to date somebody to you have not made up your mind. Make your mind get out of there. Okay? And by the way, we have some young boys here. It will come the time when the hormones will kick in and we'll be looking for somebody to start a life. Make sure that you understand that every union between a man and a woman has to be consecrated by God as an invitation to communion with God. Not only to that individual that God created to be part of your life, but also he must be part of that communion. Oh, that communion will not last. Abba, yes, he said, I want to be part of that communion. So when the Sabbath was established, was a sign of communion also. And by the way, everything that God creates is meant to be forever. And so the Sabbath will be forever part of our communion with God. Amen. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Basically, Christ was saying, I am the light. I was there in the beginning. I'm still the light. I'm the creator. And every single week, I invite you to have communion with me. Amen. So communion is not only to take the elements, it's to be part of. And so every Sabbath, please remind yourselves, the Almighty is calling me to have communion. Every Sabbath you go to church, that is an act of communion. It's when you come, you not only have a communion with God, but you're communicating. You have a community of those that believe just like you. So we are very blessed that we have among ourselves here visitors that loves us and comes to share their presence with us. Malagayan Sabado. I know that I messed up that all the time, but there are quite a few of you that speaks Filipino that I know that I decide to say that, okay? We are very blessed that you're here with us. And those that do not speak Filipino, don't feel jealous. Happy Sabbath to you too. Jesus Christ says this. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say this to you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Do you know what Jesus Christ is saying here? From the beginning, I have been always in communion with you. I have been here before. I'm here and I'll be always here. It's all up to us to decide if we want to him to be in our lives. In the beginning, the Word, and here is what John started the same expression of John chapter 1. And in the beginning, the Word already existed. Do you know why I capitalized the Word and I put in that color? Anybody knows?
The word of God.
Why the Word is capitalized?
The word of God.
You see here on the screen why the Word is capitalized and in that particular color that I choose to emphasize. Because the Word here is Christ. It is God. Okay? If some of you have any doubt that Jesus is God, you have to go to your Bible and you see the Bible states clearly that he is God. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. That is John 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. Have you seen something in life yet? What happens in the middle of life? Some of you have seen. There is the I and the F there. If.
Yeah.
Always, in the middle of life, there is if. Why? Because it's a conditional. God gave you, but it's up to you. If you keep communion with him, life remains. If you break communion with him, then life no longer exists. If, I'd like to suggest to you what is if stands for. I'm faithful.
Amen.
Yes, that's the that's what it should be in the middle of your life. A statement of your faithfulness, always. And then it says this. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. How many of you here speak Spanish or understand Spanish enough? Right? Feel some of you. All right? In Portuguese, the same thing. Probably some other Latin language could be. I don't know all of them, but I know some. And it says when a mother gives birth, they didn't say that she gave birth. They said she gave light. In my country, and everyone who speaks Portuguese and Spanish, she gave light. When the light in the Bible is a symbol of life, life and light is the same. And so, yes, the Word gave life, gave light to everything that was created, and his life, and his brought light to everyone. And Jesus is the light. That's why I capitalized the light. He also, the references to the light that was given to every human being was the Creator himself. Now, the light, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. It has been tried. Darkness has always tried to destroy light. But it won't work. Ever. And so, it's very clear what the Bible started to tell us. Jesus is the light, and may that light never stop shining in your life.
Amen.
Don't walk away from communion. Take communion. Be with the Lord. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And this is the reason why I put this verse on the screen. And what communion has light with darkness? What do you see in the middle of communion? You and I. This is what God talks to you about every single day. Remember, you and I. We need to remain with communion. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He or she who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You want to sustain communion? If you sustain communion, you sustain life. Life remains with you. But there is that if. It's very important. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, I guess I put the verse twice on the screen. You won't have to walk in the, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have life that leads to life. John 8, verse 12, New Living Translation. I guess I have in two different translations there. Have nothing to do with worthless things that people do. This is a good advice to all of us, not only to the young people, but especially the young people. It says, have nothing to do with losers. If you spend a lot of time with losers, you may gonna end up losing something. No, the hair doesn't count. Have nothing to do with the worthless things that people do. Things that belong to darkness. If somebody's around you, give you a suggestion to do something that is not good, it is time for you to run. Run, because trouble goes everywhere where people are seeking for trouble. Instead, bring them out. Where? To the light. If somebody comes to you and give you a suggestion, oh, let's do something. He says, no, I'd like to give you an invitation. Let's come to the light. Let's come with me to go to church. I have a friend, I mentioned this story a few times. I went to Sunday evening, I went to go to church for 1 hour. And he was Presbyterian. And so he said, where do you go every Sunday at 7 o'clock? You disappear and come back at 8 sharp. I go to church. What? I go to church. What do you mean? I go to church. Church at 7 o'clock Sunday? What kind of church? I said, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. And then he says, may I go with you? Okay. He came to church. And later on, he came on Sabbath. And they asked me to give him Bible study. I gave Bible studies. And by God's grace, was one of the first persons that I brought to Christ. And he became a pastor. And he's still a pastor in Brazil. Just because I went to church, I was seeking the light, and somebody said, I want the light as well. Do you have light? Do you have communion with light?
Yes.
Is your life shining?
Yes.
Here is the message we have heard from Christ. And now I announce to you, my brother and sister, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If you have to be in Him, you must have light, because there is no communion between light and darkness. 1 John 1, verse 5. For once you were full of darkness. Yes, there was a time that we believed things that is not true, but now we have light. Praise God for that, right? We have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Show the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you think, that you have communion with the light. Make your light shine, my brothers and sisters, so others will see the good you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Sometimes we are so concerned about giving people Bible studies, tell people about Jesus, evangelize, and we don't realize that if you live the light, people will come by just looking at you. Even before you open your mouth, they will come because you shine. And by the way, by nature, we are attractive to light.
Amen.
By instinct. Anybody here ever live in a place where there was no electrical light?
Before?
Yes. All right? Have you ever lived in a village where there is no light anywhere in the village? Right? We went as a missionary to Brazil in the Amazon, and we went to a village. There was one part of the village has light, electricity. Most of it didn't. And we could see at night the contrast. All the difference when you go to a home, there was no light, and they have to light candles, and they have to cannot leave the candle for too long or kerosene because it's too expensive. And so they turn on the light for a little while, and they will turn off and let's go to bed. People don't realize how privileged we are to have so much gift. And yet, how do we use these blessings that we have? It is wonderful to have light, isn't it? But you are a chosen generation. Who is Jesus talking to here?
Us.
Me.
Us.
Yes, us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's what we celebrate in communion, our relationship with light. Night is almost over. Do you know that? Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
And day will soon appear. We must stop behaving as people do it in the dark and be ready to live in the light.
Amen.
How many of you want to have communion? Now, let me ask the right question. How many of you have communion? If you don't have communion, it's because you don't have Christ in you. You have to fix that immediately. Because everyone who is here, you came here because you're seeking communion.
Amen.
And so everyone here could raise, even the little ones could raise their hand and say, yes, I have communion. I am God's creation, and I will shine His light. Now, Jesus prayed this prayer. I pray that they, who are they here? Raise your hand. Lord, them. Yes. I pray that they may all be one, Father. May they be in us, in communion with us. You and me, and I am in you. You are in me, and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you send me. That is a prayer about someone who is seeking communion. From the beginning, God always wants to have communion with His creation. And today is up to us. Proverbs 8:17 says this, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me.
Amen.
I took time to read my Bible, and I mentioned this for you many times. Today we have cell phones, right? We want the Bible, we look at a cell phone and have many different versions. It's wonderful technology. But I would like to ask, how many of you, don't please, this is a question that I'm asking, but I do not want any answer, please. Do not answer, please. How many of you still carry your Bible to church? And I don't mean on the phone, a real Bible. Don't replace your phone with your Bible. It doesn't matter how sophisticated, how many commentaries, you can have a whole library in your phone. But your personal touch with the Bible. to take a pen and to mark a verse to read. Don't give up your relationship with your Bible.
Amen.
Don't give up. Bring your Bible to church. Even though the pastor is doing something very bad, I know I'm doing something very bad. I make it so easy for you. I put it on a screen so you don't even have to open the Bible. Believe me, one sound that I miss from the front here is this sound. This sound, I miss this sound. I try to make it easy for you, but sometimes I probably hinder your own relationship with your Bible. Please bring your Bible. Check all the text that you find, something marked in your Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This in the Bible is one text, a key text, that helps, enables everyone to renew their communion with God. If you, because of sin, you're put away from God, all you have to do is to confess, and He will bring you back into communion.
Amen.
Now, what is the call to oneness? Christ's invitation. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand, He asked, what I have done for you? That's a question good for all of us here. Do we understand what God has done for you? For us, from creation until redemption at a cross. And He continues in John 13. You call Me a teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. And He continues, verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Is not you could or you should. I think all of you understand English enough to understand what that means. And now Jesus Christ says in verse 15, I have set you an example that you, again, you should do as I have done for you. And then verse 16, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. In verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Amen.
It's all up to us. I know that some of you may say, oh, I'm not clean enough to participate in the communion. You need some water and you need it urgently. Why live for tomorrow to grab what is available for you today?
Amen.
Why spend any extra minute in darkness when light is being offered you for free?
Amen.
People who have taken a bath or baptized need only to wash their feet. Do you know who spoke this? Jesus was speaking to Peter, because Peter says, no, I don't need to be washed because you are a master. I'm supposed to serve you, you're not supposed to serve me. I think Peter is very well intentioned. And there are a lot of people that sometimes they have good intentions, but they are not very right in what they say. Jesus said this to him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I don't want anybody here to hear this from Jesus Christ. I don't want Jesus Christ to say to any of you here, because you refuse to have communion with me, I have no communion with you.
Amen.
It's all up to us, brothers and sisters. So if you have any doubt about participating and you want more questions to be answered about this, we do have a class at 2 p.m. this afternoon. I'll be glad to answer your questions. You may come to that class. And by the way, if you come to that class, it doesn't mean that I have to baptize you, okay?